reconvene and go back to agenda item 6C, which is the state legislation update. Danielle, thank you.
Dive right in. So, good morning, everyone. I am going to start on a 32-page outline. I'll read word by word. So, I'm going to take a quick historical glance at back and then jog quickly forward and cover where we are and what we have left of the legislative session. So back in January, we kicked off the year with roughly 3,000 bills that were introduced between the two houses of the state legislature. Everyone wanted to introduce their latest and greatest idea to the new governor. And so at this point, we are at roughly 8,000 bills that still have yet to be taken up or completely moved through the process. So the last day of the legislative session is September 13th, so we have about 3.5 weeks to really get a whole lot of work done. Next Thursday, the 29th, is the last day for fiscal bills to be taken up. Well, actually the 30th, but they don't work on Friday, so they'll be taken up on the 29th. As you know, we have fought vigorously the last 2 years to oppose a tax on water, and we were successful this year, not just Easternet. We'll give credit to the whole water community. We did receive a $130 million appropriation in this budget, and then we also had the SB 200 pass, which allocates $130 million annually from the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, and that will be used to address safe and affordable drinking water throughout California's communities. As you know, we have also worked vigorously on this front, and so we're going to transition from fighting the water tax to ensuring that the state board appropriates and allocates those resources effectively, because $130 million can go by pretty quickly, and we want to make sure that the legislature expends them in the appropriate manner, so we'll be keeping a very close eye. On that front, the state board did hold a hearing on that topic and what they plan to do in the next year as far as rolling out their implementation plan. And they expect to address roughly 75 communities this first year. So we'll make sure that they hold firm to that commitment. As far as our bill, I know Paul touched briefly on SB 414 to demonstrate how quickly things move in the legislature. When Paul spoke this morning, we were going to be taken up in the Assembly Appropriations Committee. We've since been taken up in the Appropriations Committee and now are on the suspense file.
Are you saying Paul has that much power?
No, she's not saying that. Believe me.
He's gone far and wide. So Paul indicated that we do have some, we've had some growth and change in our bill. So we have met with the state board in July. They indicated that our bill was something that, as outlined, or as written at that point, was not something that they felt was the tool that they wanted. So we worked with them to understand their concerns, and we worked with our legal counsel to address those concerns, and we will be reintroducing some significantly amended language in the next several days prior to the bill getting out of appropriations. What that also means for our bill is that it's eligible to be taken back to a number of policy committees should the committee chairs wish to do that. We have heard a commitment from one of the policy committees that they do intend to bring our bill back. We did initially pass out of that committee, which is Governance and Finance in the Senate, relatively easy, so we're hopeful if and when we get off the suspense file, then we will move through that committee expeditiously. However, the suspense file is where many bills go to die, so we have a lengthy road between now and next Friday, so we'll continue to keep you apprised of how that goes. Also, on the consolidation front, there are two additional bills. There is AB 508 by Assemblymember Chu. This essentially builds off of historical consolidation bills, SB 88 and AB 2501. This allows the state board to mandate consolidations of domestic wells with a water system. So we've engaged the proponents of that bill to mitigate where we can. But again, since it builds off of existing law, there was a whole lot we could do to change, but the State Board will still have these powers. AB 1751 looks at a CPUC-regulated system to expedite the time frame for a consolidation that entails a CPUC-regulated. There isn't a whole lot that that bill will do to impact our arena, but it's something that we've kept a close eye on. On the water affordability front, AB 401, which was passed in 2015, required the State Board to pass a study on what a statewide water affordability program could look for, like for California. That was supposed to be introduced to the legislature on February 1st, 2018. They missed that deadline substantially, and they did introduce a draft of document back in January of this year. Eastern has been on the a longtime member of the Small Stakeholder Working Group through the State Board, and we have been actively reviewing and commenting on their draft as they come forward. They did outline a timeline that would have had them release a new draft this month, but again, they missed that timeline, so we'll continue to stay vigilant as the State Board continues to update that document. On the PFAS PFOA, the board did hold a lengthy workshop on that topic, and as was indicated at that meeting, we do have new legislation on the PFAS through the passage of AB 756 by Christina Garcia, which greatly expanded the notification requirements if a well with PFAS is not taken on offline. I know this morning you heard about the Cadiz bill. That was one of my items to bring up to you today, but I will just note that Senator Roth, for the second year, did have a Cadiz bill, and as was indicated, it was passed and signed by the governor. An issue of note is the wildfire conversation, and I know Paul raised this briefly this morning in his report, but the legislature did have a subcommittee informational hearing on wildfires and the de-energization process that IOUs and POUs have to go through. There is a lot of concern that remains about around this area, and there was a lot of negative back and forth between the members of the committee, especially the IOU individuals. So we will see additional legislation emerging on that front that will definitely relate to transparency in the de-energization process, that will definitely look at adding more transparency and oversight, especially on the POU side. So we'll continue to keep you apprised as those bills are introduced. They have yet to be introduced, but we expect before the end of session for something to happen. We do have two water bond bills. They also pertain to wildfire. So there's one in the Assembly, 85352, by Assemblymember Garcia. That's a brand new bill. And we have SB 45 by Senator Allen. So we do not anticipate the Assembly bill taken up this year. However, they wanted to put their marker down to make sure that the Assembly has a piece in the conversation. One of the Governor Newsom's remaining priorities is housing and affordable housing. And what that means for the water industries and special districts in particular, the state, the legislature has actively looked at legislation expanding the availability of accessory dwelling units. And so there's been legislation in the past that streamlined the fees and connection abilities that cities, counties, and special districts are able to charge. And so looking at that, most of those bills have died, but there are a couple that are remaining on the accessory dwelling unit front. One particular bill that is very concerning on the affordable housing conversation is AB 1486 by Assemblymember Ting, and this bill looks at surplus land that a special district, especially a water or sewer or JPA, holds. And so when the special district looks to disband or, get rid of their surplus land, they have to make special consideration in the realm of affordability or affordable housing, regardless of where that surplus land is located. So it could be next to a water treatment plant, yet we have to still pursue affordable housing, recognizing that that does have its own local concerns and flavors to it. So we'll be engaging on that bill. We do have emerging legislation that we expect any day now on impact fees. And so for our water and sewer connection fees, that could be problematic. Again, the housing advocates have identified mitigation fees as one of the leading causes of the reason why they can't implement affordable housing. So as that bill emerges, we will work collaboratively with staff throughout the district to ensure that we're able to communicate effectively on that bill. So I'm going to stop here, but I'd be happy to answer any questions.
What does that impact fee mean? They're asking us to justify what we have, or was it primarily looking at what a city charges for impact fees versus, or is it everybody?
It will be everybody, but it hasn't emerged yet. There was a study that was released on August 5th that was required by the Department of Housing and Community Development that looked at all impact fees and required sort of a justification for the application of the fees. They're going to be using that study as a launching point for legislation that will be sponsored by the Building Industry Association. We know at the local level through WRCOG that impact fees has been something that they've looked at twice through two studies, and in those reports it's been identified that sewer and water connection fees are roughly 30% of the fees that are collected on new development or new residential development. So it's, again, something that we have to be cautious of and just keep a real close eye on.
Can I just ask that? We had Charles and I had briefly perused the study yesterday, and from what I'm reading, it sounds like the connection fees do not play a part. Our water connection fees will be set aside. The study, what was in the initial review, it just is a lot about transparency requirements that agencies are going to have to be required. We do a pretty good job of transparency, but apparently there's a lot of agencies that don't post their fees, developers that do not understand what it's going to cost to do their development. So I think what we were reading initially is that there's going to be a lot of transparency regulation coming up, and requiring agencies to be more put their information out there so that people can make developers can make decisions. I didn't get the sense off the bat that, you know, our connection fees are going to be at risk, but I need to spend a little bit more time reading that study. But it seemed more about transparency.
Well, and the bill's not been formulated yet, and that's what the troubling issue is we don't really know what's being thought of. And, you know, criticize the building industry, but there's been a statewide affordable housing issue and interest by the administration and the legislature, and there's a very quick point made by the BIA and others to, well, it's all about the development impact fees. They're driving the whole boat. And while I understand where they're coming from, I think the fact of the matter is probably water and sewer connection fees have a better nexus between costs, services provided, and connections than many other generalized development impact fees. So to Laura's point, I think we have a good story to tell, but I think we're going to have to tell a story, and I think what's a bit disconcerting is that this bill is going to be a BIA-sponsored bill. And so they're using the affordable housing concerns to maybe leverage a position on controlling fees, which I think would be problematic for us.
And to that point, the author has engaged the League and CSAC, and so we want to make sure that the other two legs of the three-legged government stool do not throw the special districts under the bus.
Mm-hmm. Sure. No, I think that we'll stand in pretty good stead. Because we opened up our books to the BIA about 6 or 7 years ago, and they couldn't find anything. I mean, there was like out of $16,000 between the two, there was a variance of $300. You know, so I'm not afraid of ours. I think some cities and counties are going to have a problem in some of the, like WRCOG, trying to figure out how much they can charge for transportation and some others. I think is going to be problematic for them. But I, you know, most of the water agencies, I think, are fairly transparent. So.
The two examples they gave, one was City of Fremont, and their DIF fees were outrageous. And based on, they didn't have a nexus, a good nexus or transparency to know why. I think that's where they're kind of attacking right now. So these cities, I think cities are going to be in jeopardy.
Right.
Well, but I think we need to be very well
positioned
to defend our fees. But as I pointed out, I think what we have going for us is there's very tangible benefits for those fees paid. There's connections made to those houses, physical connections. They connect to infrastructure. That infrastructure is embedded in those fees. And so I think that versus other fee programs, which are a little bit more general in nature, I think we can make a good case. But I think to Danielle's point, we're going to have to make that case, clearly. And we're going to have to start thinking about how we defend our fee structure.
So we suspect that's what they will do if they do anything, not some arbitrary number. No water district.
We don't know. Yeah. We really don't know what's going to be in the legislation or how they're going to.
No. I think the cities are going to have an issue because there are so many, you know, only a couple of cities that I'm familiar with. You know, when you want to submit something, you cannot believe the amount of fee that you have to pay for somebody to look at one document, you know, and it's been reviewed 8 times and you pay $5,000 for that. You know, it's just incredible on some of the stuff that they charge.
At SAPI yesterday, somebody brought up, I think it was SB1, but they said it would freeze the environmental regulations.
Correct.
Today's date or some date.
Yes.
At SAPI, we voted to oppose.
Senator Atkins, Senate Speaker Pro Tem Atkins is the one that is offering SB1, and as you indicated, it would freeze us essentially at where we are in the environmental documents, regardless of where the federal government is. And so there is a lot of concern surrounding that bill. We've had a really tricky place in that conversation, only largely because of Senator Atkins' support for 414, but we have been very supportive and helpful to the broader community without a broadcasted position on that bill.
Including Metropolitan.
Including Metropolitan, yes. So
we
are engaged,
the bill.
And we are very much apprised of it. We don't, at this moment, see our name on the coalition letters, but it doesn't mean we aren't working on that bill.
Okay.
Be a fun year.
It has been a fun year.
I want to thank Danielle. She does a fantastic job representing Eastern, Aqua, CMUA, Water Reuse, CASA. She's on all those ledge committees, really weighs in, and is very well respected in Sacramento and does a great job managing our lobbyist Nimel Pappas contract. We communicate with them very frequently. We have a weekly conference call with our lobbyists, but Danielle spends a lot of time in Sacramento because, you know, as the saying goes, policy is made by those who show up. And so Danielle really does a great job in Sacramento representing the district, and we're very pleased to have her do that. So thank you for all your help this year and all the work at 11 o'clock at night on the bills that we've had to do. It's been an interesting last few weeks with all the changes in the bill, but Danielle's done a great job working with outside counsel and myself on getting those bill amendments done. So thank you.
I did have one last question.
Sure.
On our bill that was substantially amended,
Do
we still have support from the Mutual Water Companies Association?
We are touching back in with the Mutual Water Companies. We have circled back with most of our key supporters of the bill. They have yet to respond back to us, but we are circling back to the folks that have given us their support.
Great.
Probably just to add a little punctuation on that, the changes we made probably most negatively impacted LAFCO, I would say, Cal-LAFCO. We had, for the formation of the new small system water authorities under the legislation, a full LAFCO process that would go with that. One of the things the state board wanted was a more an abbreviated process where they could set up these small system water authorities, take the failing systems that they knew needed to be dissolve those systems, and put them in there without a lengthy LAFCO process under Cortese-Knox. So we did make a more streamlined process. And this was something, however, we have brought up with LAFCO for 2 years and have asked them for language of a more streamlined process, which they've been yet to provide. So that's probably going to be our toughest conversation, I would say, mm-hmm. on the bill going forward, if it does move forward at this point, would be with Cal-LAFCO.
I just would like to add, thank you for the opportunity. It has been my pleasure to continue to represent the district in Sacramento.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. It's our honor to have you there. Okay.
Thank you,
with that, we'll go to agenda item 7, which is receive and file. We'll accept a motion and a second for approval.
I'll move the item.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We'll go to agenda item 8, which is the calendar review. Nicole.
Good morning, President Sullivan, members of the board. There are two new events for your consideration. The first being the Municipal Water District of Orange County is holding its water policy forum. It will be held September 5th, which is a Thursday, at the Westin South Coast Plaza at 5:30 p.m. There is a flyer attached at the end of your packet. The topic will be the Central Valley, and the speaker this time is William Bordeaux, who's a board member at Westlands Water District. If anyone's interested. Thank you. And this is a district-sponsored event, so we do have a table.
Yeah,
thanks,
probably.
Dr. Foley. Thank you, Director Sullivan. The second event is AQUA. They're holding a regulatory summit in Sacramento on October 17th. That's also a Thursday. And it will be at the Hilton Sacramento Arden West. It's from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. for anyone who would like to attend. Moving to page 2, we have the board's master calendar for the next 2 weeks. Beginning with tomorrow, we have the Moreno Valley State of the City address, which will be held at the Moreno Valley Conference Center at 11:30 a.m. Directors Polly and Slauson are scheduled to attend. Tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 p.m., we have the Board Operations and Engineering Committee meeting for Directors Slauson and Sullivan. And on Friday, August 23rd, we have the Riverside County Water Task Force speaker series being held at Western at 7:30 a.m. I have Directors Polly, Slauson, and Sullivan scheduled to attend. On Monday, August 26th, the Hemet-San Jacinto Water Master will meet at 4 p.m. here at the district. Director Polly is scheduled to attend. And on Tuesday, August 27th, the Metropolitan Water District committee meetings are scheduled.
They're canceled.
Canceled. I will remove that from your calendar, Director Ecker. Thank you. Tuesday, September 3rd, the SAPA Commission will meet at 9:30 a.m. At SAPA in Riverside. Director Sullivan.
Should be exciting.
Yeah.
And that same afternoon on the 3rd at 3:30 p.m., the Board Executive Committee will meet, and that's for Director Slauson and Sullivan. Moving to page 3, at the future, looking at the future dates coming up for the board, I have one item listed in blue, which is the EMWD Water Leaders Academy. This, you'll note that this is a one-day program this year. In prior years, it was a multiple-day program, but this is one full day. It will be held here at the district, and again, that's Friday, October 4th, from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thank you, Director Pauline.
Depends on who's there. I'll figure out who's
there. Okay, we'll get you the RSVPs as they begin to come in, Director Sullivan. Right. Thank you. And just a note, the AQUA Fall Conference, which is scheduled for December 3rd through December 6th, we have a board meeting scheduled for December 4th. So just for the board's consideration, that board meeting does fall during the AQUA Conference.
We should probably reschedule. Perhaps we can look at the schedule. You know, we have our first first Wednesday and third Wednesday. Maybe we'll look at the second Wednesday and just do one board meeting.
Okay.
We'll look at the load of items that are coming in and make sure that that works out. But tentatively, we can look at that if that works out for the board. Have one meeting in December.
Okay. Thank you. The board's upcoming meetings are listed. They're on schedule, as well as the board committee meetings. Moving to page 4, we have the upcoming interagency meetings. And just a reminder that Monday, September 2nd is Labor Day, so the district offices will be closed. Are there any questions or additions to the calendar? Hearing none, that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thanks, Nicole. With that, we'll go to the board calendar review. Steve.
Okay. I attended a meeting with the property owners on the Triangle, and I think that that was a very good meeting. That seems to be progressing. I think we've come up with a pretty decent solution on that. Rancho California Water District board meeting, they approved their cyclic package at that meeting. And then update with general manager, it's always interesting.
Phil.
Yes, I attended the Urban Water Institute conference down in San Diego last week. I know that yourself, the general manager, and some staff were down there. I think it was a very good conference. Good networking opportunities with some people other in the water industry. I was not on the Cal D South teleconference on the 19th. However, yesterday I did attend a review of the finances for the Water Master for an upcoming report that he needs to make to the board in a future Water Master meeting. So, got an update on that. That's it.
Hey. Dave.
I have a couple things. I attend.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Randy. I'm sorry.
Oh, Dave can go.
Okay.
Okay, I'll go ahead.
Skip right over you. It's hard to
That's
do.
Fine.
Council member Marquez held a community event I attended. It was a couple hours long, and just mostly community concerns were expressed. And he thanked Eastern EMWD for its partnership on projects. I attended the August 19th pre-SOPA meeting briefing and in preparation for the SOPA event, which occurred on the 20th. And at SOPA, we had no reportable action in our closed session. We postponed the SOPA participation and engagement in outside organizations, as well as the legal services RFQs for when the more regular board members were there as opposed to alternatives, approved requests for proposals for cloud-based voice over IP, and they also approved more security because they've had a number of vehicles broken into, and I asked because they were taking gas out of the bottom of cars with buckets, and probably they got a couple gallons, but $2,000 in repairs for each vehicle.
They puncture the gas tank and take gas out of the bottom of it.
And they just had little buckets they could put underneath the car. That's not a lot of room. And then there was a state legislative report update, and Danielle touched on all those. That concludes my report.
Randy.
MWD meetings Monday, Tuesday. New assessed evaluations. Eastern's assessed evaluation went up 6%, and our voting weighted vote went up 0.02%. So
it's not the good times roll, right?
I take a lot more respect. And then it was kind of a quiet couple of days. Paul was there, which is good. Talk to staff and see what's going on. Direct report evaluations and salary adjustments, which I thought went well. And then EMWD meetings update with Paul on August 8th. Good meeting. A lot going on, as always.
Okay, with that, I attended the LAFCO meeting down at City of Murrieta for the Municipal Services Review. I thought was an interesting sort of, I thought LAFCO did a great job in making that presentation. We had a NWRA Finance Committee budget teleconference, which was quite informative. We had an AQUA and an NWRA pre-conference coordination call as to what we were going to do with follow-on with NWRA in the future. Had an update meeting with Paul, which is always informative. We had a great turnout, and staff is to be congratulated in April for everything that you folks did for the Quail Valley ribbon cutting event. It made a lot of press. I appreciate that. National Water Resources Association organization teleconference was another interesting aspect of what's going on between AQUA and NWRA. I did attend the NWRA conference in Portland, which was quite different this year. We got a lot of attention. We gained a lot of attention from California and actually on Eastern and how they do their finances. Attended the Urban Water Institute in San Diego. I thought it was an excellent conference. I know Paul, Anaya, and Phil were there, and it was good to see some folks, and it was an interesting couple of panels. And then yesterday we had people here from the Gulf Coast Water Authority who came to see primarily our desalination facility, but were absolutely enthralled with what Eastern does in their water portfolio. And at the end of the day, general manager and one of his board members came back up and said, "Do you mind if we come back again? We want to bring some staff to show what goes on here." And so it just tells you how much respect we have outside of the state of California.
So let me add to my Met report.
Sure.
On the agenda is a complete written report from Jolene, which is very comprehensive and very good, especially considering that the meetings were Monday, Tuesday. So if you have any questions about or want the detail, it's there for you.
Okay.
I also wanted to mention one other thing. At SOPA, they handed out at the end of the meeting the Local Government Commission. It's a California commission. Right. Is offering a certified watershed ambassador program for the SOPA region. And it's getting to know the watershed, collaborative planning in the face of uncertainty, communicating the value. But they're going to talk about the watershed issues, flooding, mud, just the gamut, and water and land use decisions, et cetera. So they're inviting city managers, county supervisors, department heads, other civic leaders. And it's going to be held all day, three different days in September, January, and April.
Okay. Great. All right. Do we have any director comments or what we'd like to see on future agenda items?
I'm happy to report that there's a landscape project right across the street from my house that's very appropriately done, and I appreciate staff's work on that. And there's a lot of emotional stress about previous landscape
for everyone involved.
Yeah. And I would like at some point to check in on our effort to get rid of
non-functional. Sure. Okay. Okay. Council, do we have any reason for closed session today?
We do not, Mr. Chair.
Okay. With that, we will adjourn to September the 4th, 2019 at 9 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.